an illuminating discussion now on the dynamics of poverty. Abhijit Banerjee is a professor of economics at MIT, co-author of an interesting new book, Poor Economics, A Radical Rethinking of the Way to Fight for Global Poverty. Co-author is Esther Duflo, professor of poverty alleviation and development economics at MIT. Poor economics. Abhijit Banerjee, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it's a play on words. It's both the economics of the poor and, in a sense, it's an implied critique of how, the way we often do think about the economic lives of the poor and the way the whole, you know, aid industry and the economics profession have often kind of perhaps reduced the poor to a very, very simplistic economics.
And that is to say that poverty is viewed as something that needs to be corrected or a syndrome or a sign of some sort of dysfunction. I mean, it's perhaps an overstatement, but in some sense, Esther Duflo, you're viewing poverty almost as a separate economic entity, as a nation in and of itself, and figuring out how things work, how people actually survive in a condition of poverty. What have you learned?
Well, what we are trying to say is that it's important not to reduce the poor to a set of cartoon characters. The poor, they are like you and me, except they have less money, and they have the same shortcomings and the same desire and the same wish and the same way of functioning. But the fact that they are poor changes their set of opportunities. For example, because they are poor, even if they don't have, if they have a great idea for a business, it will be very difficult for them to take a loan. So we are exploring what does that lead them. How does it affect the way they can lead their economic lives?
Do the same economic laws of supply and demand and the incentives that work in the market-based economy also work in the poverty economy, Abhijit?
Sure. The economics is very much the same. But if you start with very little money and very little hope and lots of pressures on you, and sometimes the way you respond to those incentives may be quite different. Just because you have less choices, you have less, maybe less leisure to think about things. Also, maybe you just think that you're not going to get very far, even if you try very hard. So your responses are often quite different in very important ways.
Does the sense of obstacles and hopelessness and frustration, are they exacerbated by the traditional approaches of aid in dealing with poverty, Esther Duflo?
I don't know if they are exacerbated, but what is clear is that often the way of traditionally trying to help the poor misses the mark. For example, all of our policy regarding food and nutrition is predicated on the fact that what the poor really want and need is extra calories. And in fact, that's not really the case. What the poor really need is better nutrition, that is more vitamins and micronutrients and things like that. And what they really want is better tasting food and also other things than food that we need in our everyday lives. So the policy completely misses the mark on these two fronts.
We hear a lot about the statistics of people around the world living on a dollar a day or less than a dollar a day. In discovering how people actually do that, what surprised you and what sort of details illuminate how you actually survive on amounts of money that would seem just absolutely beneath any level of civilization or survival? Abhijit Banerjee?
Well, what's interesting, I would say the thing that struck me the most is how much they try to construct a life that's not in the levels, obviously, but in somehow the structure as much as like our lives, in a sense, is that, you know, they put a significant amount of money aside for whatever the form of entertainment that's available for, you know, investing in their social networks, you know, having fun with their friends. I mean, even when you are very little, you try to make space for all those things that make life bearable.
And so does our moral view or moral filter of poverty, Esther Duflo, prevent us from understanding what's going on when, say, somebody who's just the poorest of the poor sacrifices to buy a television set instead of maybe, better food, better nutrition or something that we would consider more practical?
That's exactly right. Our moral filter are completely misleading. And they are completely misleading because we live lives that are completely sheltered and protected. whereas the poor live lives that are much more complicated and exposed. So we like to describe the poor as barefoot hedge fund managers. They have to manage a portfolio of activity for their daily life, which put them under considerable amount of stress. So we, for example, would poo-poo the poor and say, why are they not boiling their water that could protect the children against diarrheal disease and other things? But we don't even need to think about boiling our water because it comes clean out of the tap. And there are countless examples like that where we tend to adopt from our position in comfortable life these judgmental positions on the poor, which are just completely missing what it is they have to deal with in their everyday life.
Well, your book, Poor Economics, A Radical Rethinking of the Way to Fight for Global Poverty, attempts to rip those moral filters off. How do we, and I love your term, let's just use your words, how do we marshal the expertise of these so-called barefoot hedge fund managers of the poor and the heads of household who are surviving and turn that into a way out of poverty? Abhijit Banerjee?
Well, I think the two pieces to that. One is we need to figure out what exactly the poor want and what are their drivers in their life, what are the pressures. I think recognizing those pressures is half the job, because we sort of make up a mythic life of the poor, and then we often act as if that's the true life. That's one part of it. The second part of it is then, you know, one has to work with markets and governments to design products that actually work with that life. So if you want the poor to get nutrients, I think poor children, for example, we've been sort of kicking around the idea of maybe some form of candy or something which has some micronutrients in it, because it's the kind of thing that kids will love to have. It it fits with their, you know, like they're like all kids, they want to have things which are tasty and nice. If you just tell them that you have to take this pill and it's going to make you healthy every day, that doesn't work. And then maybe they will actually take that up, and that would actually make them much, much healthier. And this is the kind of thing where you need to think about where the two pieces of it. One is the what you are delivering. What's the other piece of it is what people
what
need.
Yeah.
And then you need to do a proper trial, kind of what we do are randomized controlled trials of these things. You know, give it to some people, some group of people, and compare it with others. So you figure out whether it's actually working. Because even if I say it and it's a good idea, it may not work.
Remove the moral filters and get down to really figuring out what will work. The book is Poor Economics, A Radical Rethinking of the Way to Fight for Global Poverty. Abhijit Banerjee is professor of economics at MIT. So is Esther Duflo, professor of poverty alleviation at MIT. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.